Read first of all in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16. The Acts, chapter 16. Verse 25. In the midnight, Paul and Silas prayed unto God, sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. The keeper of the prison, awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, and sprang in, and came trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his. Straightway, when he brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Turn over the page, please, to 18, the 18th chapter, and reading from verse 12. And when Gallio was deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, This fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law. And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, If it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge of such matters. And he drave them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. And Gallio cared for none of these things. Now let's look over, please, to the 24th chapter. Chapter 24, verse 24. Then after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, Go thy way for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. The last is in the 26th chapter and verse 24. And as he thus spake for himself, this is Paul telling his conversion, as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness, for the king knoweth of these things before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. I know I read these scriptures one night before, touched them a little bit. But two people tonight in the prayer meeting prayed that God would send an earthquake. Now, when we get up here night after night, we hardly know what God has for the people. We don't know the need that's in the meeting. We don't know what the thoughts are of people. And therefore, it's hard for us just to understand what we should speak. The Bible's full, from Genesis to Revelation, 66 books, and all compiled together into one volume. And it's speaking about the Lord Jesus from start to finish. And God is trying to show mankind that he loves him and wants to redeem him, wants to save him from the awful punishment that we've been hearing about tonight. So night after night we're wondering, what should we speak? Again, I say, two different people tonight asked God to send an earthquake. And of course that brought to mind the 16th chapter we read first of all. I'm thinking of these four different characters that were spoken to by God. They heard the great apostle Paul preach, or at least three of them did. And the man that I suppose would be the prince of preachers, that saw assemblies planted as well as many saved, that Jew that was one time hating God and hating his son, now turned and was converted, saved by the grace of God, and he goes out preaching the gospel. These four different characters all had to do with him. No mean preacher he was. He spoke of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. And that's what you've been hearing about tonight already, the judgment to come. And I have to go along with my brother saying, the person that reads their Bible, and this is the only reliable source of information on spiritual things, so that anybody that's sensible enough, of course there's some that will not believe the Bible. And a person that will not believe the Bible, sometimes some will believe some of it, but not all of it. The person that doesn't believe at all will never be in heaven. It's God's word, and it's God's salvation, it's God's eternity, it's God's heaven that people would like to get to, so it's only wisdom on the part of any individual to listen to what God has to say. There's four different kinds of people here that were brought in favor of knowing this great apostle Paul, the great preacher of the Old Testament, of the New Testament. And these four different ones, there was different reactions to all of it. The first one, he didn't care. The second one, he trifled with the most important matter. The third one, he was almost persuaded. Last of all, one man got saved. My, it's wonderful when a person is willing just to bow to what God says, but isn't it sad when God has to, send an earthquake to wake him up? First one, careless. And no matter where you go, you'll find those kind of people. They come to gospel meetings. They come and go, and they listen to the messages night after night sometimes, and they just say, well, that's not for me. Careless. You go down the streets of Vancouver, and if you were to ask different ones about salvation, they say, oh, I don't care about that. They're careless. One man went down to the streets of New York one night and asked different people how they expected to get to heaven. Many of them had nothing to say. Others said other different ways. He came home and he wrote a tract, and the title of it was 100 Ways to Heaven. That person that has all those different ideas, that person's careless because they're not going according to this book. If only people would get located. We were on a trip one time from Vancouver to home, traveling night and day. 8 days traveling. One night we were traveling and one man went asleep. A while later we stopped for fuel and he woke up. He went into the service station and he got a map and he opened it up. After the gas was put in, we went in to pay for it, and this man is looking at this map. Well, he said, boy, we're doing well tonight. We're getting along great. And the service station man looked over his shoulder. He says, how do you mean? Well, he says, we're here already. And he says, we were planning to get to this place. And he says, my, he said, we'll soon be there. He said, oh, no, he said, you're 200 miles from there. Now, what was happening? He wasn't located. And when the man told him, he says, no, you're way back here, 200 miles to that place. You're way back here yet. If people would only get to this book, they would find out exactly where they stand in the light of God's eternity. And they wouldn't just be going along carelessly, thinking, well,
Somehow, somewhere, somehow, God will save me, he'll speak to me. God is willing to save anyone. God loves a sinner. But I want to tell you again tonight, you've got a responsibility to listen to what God has to say. Careless.
Brings to mind now, there's a man in Halifax. We're having meetings there, oh, it's quite a few years ago, maybe 30, 35 years ago now. Anyway, his cousin wanted to get him out to meetings. And he went to him and he says, Eddie, I want you to come along to the meetings. We're having meetings in the hall. Would you come along? He says, I haven't time. I can't be bothered with that kind of stuff. And Friday nights when he would get his pay, and he was a good worker and got big pay, he's coming home, everybody around that district was waiting and watching for that old station wagon, and they'd clear the roads when he was coming. He was under the influence. No, he says, I haven't time for that kind of stuff. And he was half mad. But his cousin kept at him, night after night, finally came to this. He says, I'll tell you what. I want to work in my garden, but he says, if it's raining tomorrow night, I'll go with you just to please you. It rained for 3 weeks. He came along. He was careless. He was, first of all, he just sat there and he was just looking all over the place. Careless. But God began to speak to him. This is why we have meetings. It's not that we think that our preaching is going to do anything any more than this. God is able to use the word that's spoken. The Spirit of God is able to awaken and arouse men and women to their awful condition. And now he's beginning to think a little bit. And now he's coming night after night. I'll go a little further. One night he came to the door and he was just smiling from ear to ear. He says, I got saved. I said, oh, you got saved, yes? He said, I got saved. Wonderful, Eddie. That's wonderful. How did you get saved? Well, he said, I got saved. I'm so happy. I'm so, you know. His cousin said, let's go over, or so I'll get him to come to the house and we'll talk to him. I think it's a good thing when a person professes to be saved to ask them why, how they got it. Because if they haven't got the real thing, it'll do them no good for eternity. And far better for them to find it out right now. Anyway, we went over to the house. We talked till about 12 o'clock at night, asking different questions back and forth. But there was something missing. There was something not just coming together right. Finally, about 12 o'clock, I said, Eddie, I'm going to ask you one more question. If God has sent you to hell a week ago, before you say you got saved, would he have been just in sending you there? Well, now, he says, I'll just tell you this. He says, I know I've been a bad man. He says, I've been anything but right. And he says, I've used the name of God in vain. I've been a drunkard and all the rest of it. And he says, I've been into all kinds of sin. But he says, I know I deserve judgment. I said, I know I deserve punishment, but forever? I said, I don't think I'm that bad. Well, I said, Eddie, I have to tell you right now, you're not saved. He got up, and he went by me, going out. He says to his wife, he says, come on. And as we're going by, he had his fist clenched. He was mad as a hatter. He told me afterwards, there was something said to him, don't do it. I'm glad he didn't. But he was back the next night. I said to his cousin when he left, I said, I'm afraid we went too far. Maybe we've lost them. No, he said, he'll be back. Don't you worry. He was back the next night. I said, how was the night, Eddie? He just shook his head. Next night, the same thing. He sat there some nights in those meetings, and he actually shook in his seat, trembling. And one night he came to the back and he said, would you come downstairs for a minute? I want to ask you a question. He went downstairs. He said, look, this morning, he says, I couldn't sleep the last night. And he says, this morning at 5 o'clock, he says, or maybe at 4, some early hours in the morning, he says, I came down to the kitchen. And he says, I just got down on my knees and I told God, look, if you send me to hell, it's all I deserve. And more than that, forever, it's still all I deserve. See, he was being honest. The carelessness has been taken away. And he's beginning to realize this is real, this is for eternity, as you've been hearing already tonight. And he said, no sooner have you got that prayer out to God. Romans 5 and 6, Christ died for the ungodly. Well, he says, thank God. He says, here I am. I'm the ungodly person. Christ died for me. He says, am I saved? Christ says, Eddie, I've got nothing more. But he says, thank God. He says, thank God that although I'm an ungodly sinner, Christ died for me. He says, it's almost too much to take in. It's hard to take in. He says, I know that. He lived to prove it for a few years. Became an elder in God's assembly. And oftentimes he was telling how he got saved. The carelessness was taken away from him. So here's a man, he doesn't care. I hope there's nobody like that in the meeting tonight. Careless? God can't save that person. Can't do anything for him whatsoever. But now look at the next man. He's trifling. The Apostle Paul is preaching. I would love to have heard it. He was a man that when he spoke with words, educated words. A man that was able to feel the presence of God with him when he was preaching. And here's a man sitting listening, and finally said, go thy way for this time, when I have a convenient season. Oh, we've seen so many people come to our meetings in the same condition. They were aroused and wakened to the fact they needed salvation, but just not right now, they're not ready for it, and they say, wait for a little while, when I want it, then I'll get it. Those kind of people don't get saved. Because they don't realize, see, that when God is speaking to them, that's their opportunity. And I'm going to say again tonight, like I said one night before, a lot of people don't believe this, but after preaching for 53 years, I've seen it. And there's a lot of people, and they put the onus entirely on the unsaved person. I want to tell you tonight, if God is not dealing with you, there's no way that you can get God's salvation. It takes the Spirit of God to born you, shall I say, give you birth into the family of God. Therefore, the Spirit of God must be showing you these things. And you might as well tell a person to pick themselves up off the floor by the shoelaces as tell them they're going to get saved on their own. They can't do it. In fact, I'll give you a challenge right now. If there's somebody here tonight you'd like to be saved, you try it until the meeting's over. And I'll guarantee you, you won't be saved at the end of the year. If that's what you're thinking, you can get saved any old time you like. Here's a man, he says, when I have a convenient season, God says, now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And when the Spirit of God is dealing with a person, that's their day of opportunity. And that's when the Savior said, strive to enter in. He trifles. He missed it. I'm thinking of another man. King Agrippa. Royalty. A man that's sitting on the throne. A man that has everything of this world's goods as far as things of this world is concerned. He's listening to the great Apostle Paul. And again, he's telling his conversion. What a moment that must have been. With power from on high, with reality, the great preacher standing with shackles on his hands and feet. In the presence of royalty, in the presence of the king, he's telling him how he can say. Finally, he says, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? Yes, he says, I know you believe it. For this thing was not done in a corner. And Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. To me, those are solemn words. Almost. Take a look at the chart. He was right at the door. All he had to do was enter. And Agrippa would be in heaven tonight. Simple as that. But almost is not enough. We have seen people come to the very door of salvation. I can tell you story after story. I'm not going to tonight. But as I look back over the past years of preaching the gospel in tents and schoolhouses and old boathouses and so on, people, some of them highly educated, some of them just illiterate, but they've come right to a certain point, and you can just see it. For something else, they turn aside. And Agrippa, there's nothing to say that he ever got a chance again. Almost. Almost. You know, there's things in this world, there's opportunities that people have had. They've got to a point where they almost made it. But they were lost. The Titanic almost got to Canada. The finger of God ripped along those great plates. And in her maiden voice, she was to the bottom. As one man was rail when the different people were getting on over there in England, and one woman said to him, she said, "Is it true that this is the unsinkable?" And he said, "Madam, God himself can't put this boat to the bottom. In a matter of a few days, she's lying at rest, broken to pieces, at the bottom of the ocean. You can't play fast and loose with God. Almost is not enough." My friend in this meeting and I hope that somebody will get to the place where they'll realize they need what this Philippian jailer needed. And he got it. God had to send an earthquake. And oftentimes God has to send an earthquake. I don't mean shuddering the world. I don't mean trembling the earth. I'm not talking about, but a real earthquake in a person's life. So oftentimes somebody will say, "Well, I was just careless and indifferent until my wife died. And as I looked into the coffin, I began to realize that could have been me." God sends an earthquake into the lives of men and women to make them stop and consider. I hope there's nobody who'll have to have that. But it would be kind of God if he sent an earthquake into your life in order to make you to realize you need salvation. You know, I'm thinking now of a young girl, her mother saved by the grace of God, but her father a drunken sot. She went to the Sunday school with her mother, and for quite a while after she got in her teens, she'd go to meetings with her mother. But her father could see she was a beautiful girl, and he could see that she could make it in the world. So he wanted to get her off to the dances and so on. The mother was grieved. But he wanted to get her out, and he would take her away to different things that were happening in the world, the pleasures of sin. But because he could see that she could make it in this world. She's now nearly 20. She got out to a dance one night. She danced half through the night. She got overheated. And then out into the cold. She got a cold. Pneumonia set in. And it was those days when they didn't have the medication they have nowadays to combat stuff like that. Little by little, she was going down. The last trip the doctor made to the home, when he came out from the room, he said to the father and mother, he said, "It's only a matter of a few hours. She can't make it." The father looked at the mother. He said, "You better go and tell her." She says, "I can't." "You go tell her." Oh, he says, if you go in and tell her, maybe you can tell her how she can get saved. Remarkable how things change, isn't it? Moses says, "I can't. You have to go in." He sat down beside her. He said, "Mary, the doctor tells us that you've only got hours. Now's the time for you to get down to business and get this matter settled for your soul." She says, "Father, I used to go to meetings with my mother. There was times when I was concerned and would like to be saved, but," she said, "you took me away. You showed me, introduced me to the world and its pleasures." And she says, "I enjoyed it." But he says, "Dear," he says, "now get down to this. You won't be here long. Get your soul saved." Again, she says, "Father, those thoughts are gone." She says, "There was a time when I was concerned and God was dealing with me, but those troubled thoughts are gone. I can't do anything about it now." Finally, he said to her, "Is there anything I can do for you?" "Yes," she says, "Father, I would like that you go out to the pump and get me a glass of that cold, fresh water from the well." He did. He came back in with the glass and handed it to her. She says, "Dad, what do you think I should do?" He says, "Listen, for your sake, for your mother's sake, and for a broken-hearted father's sake, please think about your soul." She says, "That's all gone." And she held the glass. She says, "Dad, I'll soon be where I want this." The glass dropped. She slumped back in the bed. She was gone. Friend, in this midnight, you've got a soul. No grave digger's going to cover. It's either going to be in heaven or in hell, and it all depends what you do with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you just to think of this as I stop. The Philippine jailer, he heard the message. God spoke to him in a very definite way, brought him to his senses. He was brought in and he said, "What must I do to be saved?" And they said, notice what they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." I want to say as I sit down tonight, friend, that listen, God would save any person in this meeting if they're willing just to take what he says. And what does he say? "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ," and put the emphasis on him. It's him that you need to trust. It's him that you must receive. And if you'll take what he has said, what he's done on the cross of Calvary, he died to save you. And all he wants you to do is give him the credit for telling the truth. That is, it is done. The work is finished. There's nothing more you can do but accept the work of Christ on the cross, and you'll be saved by his sovereign grace. Shall we pray? Our God, our Father in heaven, in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we humbly bow in thy presence a moment to pray, and we do thank thee for the fact that there are some in our meeting that are saved by thy sovereign grace. They can look back to a moment in their experience when they trusted Christ, now on the way to heaven, rejoicing in God's salvation. But, O God, if there be any in our meeting, and we believe there are, that has never yet trusted the Savior of sinners, never yet entered into the straight gate and started on the narrow way, O God, would approve it in thy mercy tonight, even if it does take an earthquake, where anything's better than going to hell. We ask thy richest blessing then in his own worthy and precious name. Amen. Hymn number seven. "Almost persuaded now to believe, almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, go Spirit, go thy way, some more convenient day, on thee I'll call." Hymn number 7, and we'll take time to sing the whole hymn.